Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Vav. That we will start with Hey Amid Beis, a couple lines from the bottom, as we are in discussions of Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that came up at the end of the Daf yesterday on Hey Amid Beis, and we will pick up right after the line where the Gemara said, in the name of Rav, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Umachitzin, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. These three halachas, which aren't exactly, don't have to be together, they are somewhat related, but it was said as a unit, Rav said, these three items are based on not anything written in the Torah, but Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. And that is Shiurin, all the Shiurin that are written in the Torah, that are not written in the Torah, of all various halachas, Chatzitzin, halachas of Chatzitza, of halachic interference when one goes to a mikvah, and Mechitzin, the laws that require a Mechitza, which again, the Gemara will go into each one of these, are based on Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Remember the Rambam Shita in the Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos, where the Rambam says, what is the definition of a Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai? Different than the Rambam's other category of Dvarim HaMekubalim Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, the first two categories, according to the Rambam, of Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam says the difference is whether there is any type of remez in the Torah, would I have figured it out at some point if I would have been given a very long time to think about it. Halacha Moshe B'Sinai I would never have figured out, no matter how long I would have been given. Unlike Dvarim HaMekubalim Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. So for example, the Rambam says, pre-Eitz Hadar, a beautiful fruit. How do I know that's an esrog? I know that not from Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. The Gemara never says that, but it's a pirush hamakubal mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara later on, Be'ez Hashem in the third parak, even goes through, maybe I would have thought it's this, maybe I would have thought it's that, and at the end of the day I say, Pre-Eitz Hadar is an esrog. So that's not illogical, and I could have figured that out after a long time, because that is a beautiful fruit. Or ayin tachas ayin, the Gemara in the 8th parak of Masechas Bava Kama, where the Gemara discusses that is money, and it's not actual, an eye for an eye. So also there, I could have figured it out after a long time, but even though it's not clear in the Torah, that's a pirush hamekubal mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. But Halacha Moshe B'Sinai is specifically something that I would never have known. And here, the Rambam, we've mentioned in the past, sometimes when the Gemara says Gemara Gemirila, and Rashi and Tosfos, all those places say that means Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Rambam doesn't always have to say that those are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Those might be in category 1. Pirush HaMekubal Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. Here the Gemara says it explicitly. So here the Rambam won't have a choice to say that this is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. And again, the Rambam also says the other difference in the two is that Halacha Moshe B'Sinai never has any machlokas about them. Well, the first category might have, and that is also something that is controversial. The Chavos Yar has a long tshuva where he goes through it. There seem to be many machlokas about Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. And how does the Rambam suggest that he has to try to answer up? This one is not Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. This one's not really a machlokas. That's a tshuva of the Chavos Yar. Good, so we have Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin, Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. One point that we ended off with last time, and that is Shi'urin, Rashi adds in two words, Shel Isurin. The Halacha Moshe B'Sinai is Shirin of Isurin, Kegon, Kizayis Lokal Achilas Isser, Vikakoseves Liyom HaKippurim. All the Achilas Isser, Kizayis and Koseves. That's Rashi. Ask the Achronim, the Maariz Chayis, and the Rishash. There are other Shirim in the Torah. Why does Rashi only say Isurim? What about the Shir for Abayis HaMenuga? What about Shirim for other items? Says the Maariz Chayis, Shtei Kesef Hu Bechal Shiurim L'Chiyiv, right, for Dini Mamanis, for the Halachas of Shavua. What about the Shiurim of 12-year-olds for a girl and 13-year-olds for a boy? There's a lot of different Shiurim. Tefach, Ama, Adasha, V'kulam Eidim Nirmazim B'Mikrozeh. So he says, I don't understand why Rashi quotes only the Isurim Tzarech Iyun Gadol. It could be, again, I saw one of the trying to suggest something like this, and that is, by all the halachos, like for example, what about mitzvos? What about mitzvos? Why isn't that at least to differentiate between shiurim of isurim and shiurim of, let's say, achilas matzah, or achilas karban? Why does Rashi say isurim? So if you look in the Rambam, the formulation that he has by mitzvos, the Rambam does not say it's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis of matzah on the night of Pesach. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah to eat matzah. Once I ate a kezayis, I was yotzei. I'm finished. That's the Rambam's lashon. There's a slight difference between those two. The Rambam says in Ochos Chamitzu Matzah, I'll read it in Perek Vav, mitzvah sase min atara lechol matzah belel chamisha asar. It's a mitzvah to eat matzah. No shear given. Shenemar ba'erev tochlu matzos b'chol makom v'chol zman v'lo tala achila zu b'korban Pesach ela zu mitzvah b'fnei atzma u'mitzvah z'kol alayla the whole night u'mishaach al kizayis yatzi yidei chovaso. Once you ate a kizayis, then you did what you had to do. Doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat a kizayis. Also in Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Rambam says, I have to eat a mitzvah. Mitzvah min amuvchar le'echo besar ha-pesach achila sova. It's a mitzvah to eat it as I become satiated. Therefore, if I brought the shalmei chagiga and then I ate the besar ha-pesach lizbami menu, fine, I'm yotzei. V'im lo achal ela kizayis yasi dechovaso. Same type of lashon. So what does that mean? If I only ate a kizayis b'di'eved am yotzei. So again, if you look closely, the Rambam doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat a kizayis. So it could be by the mitzvahs of achila that there's a difference. There's a big difference in lumdus between that and isurim, and that is by isurim ma'achalos asuros. So there is a losasei of eating a kizayis. The kizayis is part of the definition of the isur. That's ma'achalos asuros. I can't eat a kizayis of this, I can't eat a kizayis of that, I can't eat a chosevas when it comes to Yom Kippur. By mitzvos, the shear isn't really part of the definition of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat, period. Once I ate a shear, you're right, I no longer have to do the mitzvah anymore. But it's not part of the definition of the shear. So maybe that's why Rashi only says it by averos, because there it's part of the definition of the shear, mashe'ekim, when it comes to mitzvahs. Again, you have to explain all the other types of shiurim. Also, somehow that's not related to these, not part of the definition. By 12 and 13 year olds for a boy and a girl, assuming that's halacha Moshe v'Sinai, which is a machlokas rishonim. What about kizayis adasha for tumah? So again, there are other Yisurim, but that's a suggestion for Rashi. Okay, we continue. So the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, why the Gemara bring this line in? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who, according to him, the math did not work out, figuring out how tall a sukkah has to be, learned it out from the Kruvim and the Aron. So it has to be Halacha Moshe v'Sinai. So the Gemara is going to go through each one, really. Shi'urin daraisa nihu. Shi'urin daraisa, meaning it's a pasuk in Chumash. Like the Rambam says, it's not the halacha Moshe v'Sinai. The definition is that it's not merumas and chumash, but these are merumas and chumash. Daraisa ninu dichsev, as the pasuk says, eretz chita usaora v'gefen uteinav rimon eretz yishemen udvash. Right, the pasuk about the shivas haminim, and we darshan that each of these words in the pasuk allude to a different shear in halacha. V'yamar Rav Chanin kala pasuk azel shear nemar. This whole pasuk of the shivas haminim is an allusion to different shiurin. Chita number one, shechita l'bayis hamenuga. Wheat chita is for bayis hamenuga, for a house of tsaras. Which, if you remember, the Gemara Sanhedrin darshins that at least according to one opinion is one of the three halachos that never happened. One of the three halachas that never happened. Bayis HaMenuga, Ir HaNidachas, and Ben Sora Moreb. So Machlokas, whether at least the second and the third, right? Ir HaNidachas, one opinion says it never happened, the other opinion says, no, I stood on the mound where Ir HaNidachas was burned. Or Ben Sora Moreb, one says it never happened, another says, oh, I was at his kever. So Bayis HaMenuga, the Gemara also says, Lo Haya V'lo Nivra, why is it mentioned in the Torah? Drosh V'kabel Schar. So Baruch Hashem, right now, at least according to one opinion, we're about to learn Lishma, right? That is Bayis HaMenuga. What do you need a shear for a Bayis HaMenuga? A house which has got saras? It's not. The Mishnah says a Maseches Nigaim. Hanichnas the Bayis HaMenuga. If somebody goes into a house of saras, it's not automatically metamimi. There is a time minimum, at least according for some of the halachos. So if somebody goes into a Bayis HaMenuga, v'kelav al ksefav, and he is carrying his kalim, meaning his begadim, his clothing is on his shoulder, v'sandalav v'tab osav biyado, and his sandals, his footwear, and his rings. Interesting. That's Tabosav, his. I mean, it's clear that there was jewelry for a man then too. V'tabosav biyado, meaning he is not wearing his clothing, certain clothing, he might be wearing some, but he's carrying certain items. Hu v'hein tamei and miyan. Everything is tamei automatically. There's no time idea. There's no time delay there. Why? Because there, the clothing, the rings, the shoes, they're being brought in as items. They're not secondary to the person. He's bringing them in as items. They're independent items. Therefore, they're tamei, just like he is tamei right away. But hayalavush kelav, if he's wearing his clothing, v'sand alav biraglav, and his footwear is on his feet, v'tab osav be'etzba osav, and the rings, the jewelry is on his fingers. Hu tamei miyad, that he's tamei right away, v'hein tahorin ash yishe b'chtei achilas pras. And they are tahar until he stays in there for a couple of minutes. Meaning they are batel to him. Rashi says, the ikru lahu begadav. They are batel to the person. And therefore it's delayed. It's delayed to when they become tamay. So it depends if he's wearing them or not. What time, and how long kedei achilas pras? As we discuss at the end of Yuma, which we'll discuss again, but in a couple of minutes, as long as it takes me to eat a certain amount of bread. Certain amount of bread, achilas pras, a portion, a slice of bread. What type of bread? Pas chitim velo pas seorin. Wheat bread and not barley bread. What's the difference? Wheat bread is easier going down. Rashi says, shehi yasa mu'etes mishel seorin. And that's the shear that's used for a bayis hamenuga. Wheat bread and not barley bread. And also, mesiv va'ocha b'lifton. And mesiv, I'm not eating it on the run. I'm eating it leaning, right, mesubin, mesiv, v'ochav alifton, I'm eating it with a dip, which is also easier to go down. So it's the quicker type of eating a achilas pras, wheat, leaning, and with a dip. So all of those, that's the shear for bayis hamenuga. So you see, it's mefurish of the Torah. Or semi-mefurish of the Torah, as we'll see. But it's alluded to by a pasuk in Chumash. So what is the Gemara talking about? That is based on Halacha Moshe v'Sinai. So we'll get to each one. Let's just talk about the first one, for a minute. And that is, let's go in order. First it says, Sandalav etabosav biyado. There is a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, where he discusses, there was a woman that said, that made a neder. Woman made a neder. Perek achilak alav simen chavdalin. Isha achas. She was mad for some reason, or she was bekabel. I'm never going to wear my yantiv clothes. I'm wear my yantiv clothes during the week. Maybe it was a man. Maybe she was just making an edder that she wasn't going to wear. She wanted to save her clothing for yantiv. She knew the halagos amonios that your yantiv clothes have to be worth even more than your Shabbos clothes. She wanted to save them. I'm never wearing them when it's not yantiv. I asura gamkin lahasim ha. Tabatayim chashuvim shiragilu lasum biyadayim biyamim tovim o na'alayim. Are shoes included in clothing? That's the shaila. Are shoes included in clothing? Right. Sometimes you have clothing stores that don't sell shoes. Right. Everything's included except for shoes. Shoes are different. What about halachically? Are shoes called clothing? So the Shvus Yaakov says he nira. He says it appears to me on the surface that everything's included. You say clothes, that means everything you wear, everything that goes on your body. He says, you look in the Mishnah Nigayim, which is quoted in four places in Shas, right? One of them is right here. Mishnechos of Isa Menuga. You see, the Gemara talks about clothing and shoes and rings. It's all package deal. The Gemara talks about it all. So he says, Hare, de bechlal levishas begadim gamma tabos bechlal vagam gamma sandalim. So he says, you might say that it's listed separately. Listed separately, maybe it's different, so it's not 100% clear from our Gemara then. He says it's included in the halacha, but it's stated separately in the Mishnah. It's stated, it says, lavush begadim, and kelav al ktefav, and sandalav etabosav biyado. So jewelry and shoes might not be included. And he goes back and forth to figure out exactly whether this is included. And then he says, Ukihai Gavna, right, we just had the end of Maseches Yuma, right? What about the Levishas Big Day Kahuna? Right? The Shmona Big Day Kahuna is the tzitz of a baguette. It goes on top of the fard. Is that a baguette? It doesn't really wrap around. Is a belt a baguette? The Avnate? Is the choshen, is the ephod? Okay, certain items are begadim, but they're all called bidei kahuna, right? And the Mishnah that we had towards the end of the Maseches Yuma, Daf Ayin Aleph, which lists off all of the begadim. So he says, no, it sounds like it would be included in begadim. And they say, if you look in the Mishnah in Shabbos, where the Mishnah talks about there's a fire and you're allowed to take out a certain amount of clothing from one's house, if there is an Erev, there is no Erev, 18 articles of clothing, Rabbi Yossi says, again, there it doesn't list shoes separately. So he goes through And Lamaisa, he says, he thinks it is included. It is included, and therefore, unless the husband is mefer the neder, biyom shamo, or the chacham is matirit, it would be included. But again, number one, that's included in the tabosav, and sandalav not being included explicitly in the list. In the Mishnah. The other point to mention, which is the general point that we mentioned again at the end of Yuma, but it is important to mention whenever this comes up, and that is Bechtei Achilas Pras. How we measure Bechtei Achilas Pras. The Minchas Chinuch Ta'ara is that it's amazing that nowhere in Shas does it give a shear. Doesn't give a shear. Tell us how big the Achilas Pras is. It's so important for mitzvos, it's so important for Averos, and yet it does not mention it anywhere in Shas. How long is Kedei Achilas Pras? So Minchas Chinuch says, you know why? Because it could be that it's a flexible definition. And there is no shear. He talks about two points in Shin Yud Gimel, the mitzvah of not eating, on Yom Kippur. He says, Lo nisva'er, d'zei yadua, de'ein kol tiv'ei anashim shavim. The nature of people are different. Yesh m'maher ba'achilaso v'yesh ma'acher. Some people eat quickly and some people eat slowly. Im ken yadua, he says, im misha'arinan, the question is, lufi tivo, misha tivo lechel ha'prasper v'yishah kezayis shalo, o kako seves mitzari bereva sha'av im sha yoser pater, or do you go by an objective shear for everybody? Do you go by each person? Do you go by an objective shear? Hakla kolechad b'didei misha'arinan, o dilma misha'arinan kakol ba'adam beinoni. The average eating habits. V'ein chilek beinon hashem klal. Rak hashir b'zman achilas pras beinoni, pras kashir zevechulu. And he says, l'chora, you measure by adam beinoni. By the fact that the Gemara Neva says it otherwise. Gemara Neva says that on the list in the Mishnayos and Maseches Kelim, the 17th parak, it lists off all the different shiurim of different items. It doesn't list this there. And then he says, Ach Kasha, if you go by another Beinoni, so why didn't Chazal tell us? So then he says, even though you go by another Beinoni, I think you go by different items. Lefi ze nichem ashalo biru chazal kama haver l'kdei achilas pras ki ein shir l'dover rakom ma'achol yesh lo shir acher v'lo yaspik hadiyova hakumis lachshov kol min ma'achol ba'olam l'adam beinoni. There's not enough ink in the world to write down the shiurim for every single food. Okay, you go by an average person, but how I eat a cookie and how I eat soup and how I eat chicken, every item is different. And then he gets into the halacha lemaisa ramification, and that is, what about bracha achrona? Does bracha achrona go by how each food as well? So, for example, if somebody's having a hot drink and they're drinking it very slowly, does the shear expand based on the fact that normal eating habits means that I eat this in a slow, or drink this in a slower fashion? As a major machlokas poskim, there was some gedolim that dafka waited till their drink cooled off so that they could have an amount bechtei achilas pras according to all. Other posts can say, no, you go by the shear of this item. Or you say, no, you go by a regular shear, but you don't have to worry about it. So drink it slowly and you won't make a bracha achrona. Either way, that is the discussion of the Minchas Chinuch here in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. Keep in mind, I saw recently Hilchos Brachos. If we're ever drinking something hot, so many times what do? We make a bracha shekol nei b'varo, and then we try to drink it, then we blow, and then we drink. That's a hefsek. L'chatchila, we should test out the temperature before we make the bracha. And that is, and if we need to blow, we should blow before to make sure that it is at least drinkable a little bit, so then we can blow and then make the bracha, and then take a little sip. All you have to have is a little tiny sip. For bracha rishona, we don't need any more than a tiny sip. Bracha achrona, you have to worry about the achilas pras. Bracha rishona, we don't. So if there is something hot, you know, we should at least make sure we can get a little bit down right after the bracha, and therefore if we need to blow, we should blow before the bracha. Lemaisa, how long is achilas pras? So many, many posts have discussed this. Somewhere between 3 or 4 and 9 minutes. Somewhere the Chassam Sofer has the longest shear, 9 minutes. The others have a shorter shear. Rav Shlomo Zalman in his Haggadah writes, just regarding Achilas Matzah, it is impossible that the Torah demands us to eat faster than normal eating behavior. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says, if I eat, either our shiurim for matzah are much bigger than they're supposed to be, or our kdei achilas process is much faster than it's supposed to be. But either way, Shlomo Zalman says, matzah, whatever your shiur is, whatever you think the shiur is, just eat it normally. And you don't have to take any breaks in between, but eat it like normal eating. You don't have to stuff it into your mouth. Chas v'shalom, that's not what the Torah wants. That's not maisa achilas. So Shlomo Zalman says, as long as we eat normally, and we eat the requisite shiur, whatever we figure out, in a normal eating amount of time, so one is yotzei the mitzvah, one doesn't have to worry, have any, chshashos that I didn't eat it in time, just lonin etor l'malachai asharis, and I can eat it in a normal way. So either way, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, chita, the shear is given for bais amenuga. Saora, fourth line, ditznan, barley, so what is barley? Ditznan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Ahalos now. Right, we're learning various mesechtas in Taurus. Etzem kisaora, the bone, the sign of a size of a barley seed. This came up a few weeks ago. I think I got an email about it. I think I said the opposite of what it what the halacha is. But this is the halacha is etzem kisaora matami b'maga b'masav ain't matami b'ohel. Right, there's tumas maga and masav. There is no flesh on the bone. There's just a bone the size of a barley seed. That's the minimum shear for tumas maga and masa. Ve'ena matami ba'ol, and there's no tumas ol unless, like Rashi says, ashi he shidra o gulgola shlema, unless I have a sizable part of the skeleton. I have the spine, I have the entire skull. O rov minyane vare adam. There's a certain shear. But if there's only a tiny little barley seed, that size, so that is matami b'maga b'masa, and not matami ba'ohel. Remember the first Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis. The Rambam says that Tumas Maga and Tumas Ohel are Mefurish Bikra. Are learned out explicitly, that's a pasuk in Chumash. Maga and Ohel. Masa is learned out from Maga, based on a Kal V'chomer. And the Rambam goes through the Kal V'chomer from Masa. And the Mekatzeh Mishnah there says, but Ein Onshin Min Adin, Ein Masir Min Adin, how could you learn it out from a Kal V'chomer? Right, a kavachomer, you can't give a punishment, you can't give a warning based on a kavachomer. So the Kesef Mishnah there explains that it's not really a kavachomer. It is a gilui milsa. It is learned out that if this is usher, then included in that is usher. If even ohel and maga on the two sides, then masa carrying, even without touching, that's included. That's not a kavachomer specifically, that's a gilui milsa. Sorry, the other example the Rambam gives. The Torah does not say that one of the arayas is daughter. It says daughter's daughter. Basabas. So again, the Rambam says, another example. Is that a kavachomer? It's not a kavachomer, but when the Torah asers daughter's daughter, included in that is daughter. It's a gilui milsa, this is also aser. Not a kavachomer. Or the third example, the Rambam gives three, basa b'chalaf. The Torah says, you're not allowed to cook basa b'chalaf. So cooking basa b'chalaf, so we learn out the three times, also eating basa b'chalaf. How you know that? The Rambam's law says, if cooking, then surely. What do you mean surely? Kavachomer, and Oshim Adin. The answer is that's not really a kavachomer. That's more of just a gilui milsa. If even the more extended, far halacha is aser, so included in that is the lesser, the closer, the more chamor halacha. So the three examples given are Tumas Masa, and Bas Habas, and Basa B'chalaf. So those are the three. So again, that's the Rambam, that's Saora here, that Esam Ksaora is Batame Mag and Masa, and not Batame Ba'oel, so the size of a barley seed. Gefen. What's Gefen? Kidei Revius Yayin L'Nazir. Gefen, a vine, that's the shear for Revius Yayin for a Nazir. What does that mean? So far, the two shiurin, and the ones that we're going to come to also, the item is not inherent to the shear. Meaning barley, it's nothing about barley, it's the size of barley. Nothing about wheat, it's the size of wheat. The first one also has to do with paschitin, but here the question is what is the shear? So it's a machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says here that gefen k'dei revius yayin l'nazir, it's referring to the other isurei nazir, the other items related, right, we know everything on a vine is usher to a nazir, this peels and the seeds and all of those. So Rashi says if I do displacement, if I put all of those into a cup of wine, once a the shear of a revius flows out of that cup of wine, then I know that amount that went in is the amount that's usur for a nazir. Again, the other items are solids. That's why revius is not the usual shear for those items. But Rashi says, for nazir, you put them into the cup, and wine, Rashi quotes, does not flow out of a cup like water. Water flows out much in a freer fashion, faster. The viscosity is quicker. While wine, it sticks to each other, so it goes falls out of that slower. So whenever the amount of revius flows out, that's the amount of those items that are usher to a nazir. Tosfos quotes that Rashi says that here, but Rashi says something else. In the beginning of Meseches Erevin on Daf Dalid, he quotes, there's difference. If you drink a Revias Yayin, you drink a Revias Yayin, right? Geffen, can a Revias Yayin Lanazir? It's talking about the wine. It's not talking about the solids. Okay, either way, one of the Shiurim for Nazir. We know there are 10 mitzvahs related to Nazir, most of them relating to the wine elements. There's a separate Isser of seeds and raisins and skins, besides the tumas mace and the cutting the hair, but most of the and the karbanos, but most of the other ones are related to the wine. Teina, figs, kigrogeris lotzah shabbos. Fig, the shear of a fig is a dried fig for carrying out most items on Shabbos. There are many mishnayos and Shabbos that discuss specific shiurim for different items, but if there is no set shear, then the shear is a grogeris. Rimon, pomegranate, ditznan. The Mishnah also says in Kalim, kol klei ba'alei batim. What is the shear for a kli of a balabayas? What does that mean? If I have a kli, it's makabel tuma. What if it gets a hole in it? The shear, the kli gets broken. If there's a hole in it, so as long as it's still usable, it's still makabel tuma. What if it gets a very large hole? So that is not makabel tuma anymore. What's called a very large hole? If it's the size of a rimon, if a pomegranate would fall through, so that already, it loses its shame kli, and it is no longer makabel tumah. So kol kli bali batim shi'uran kirimonim. The shear is a rimon. Next, eretz zeis shemen udvash, right? Eretz zeis shemen, what is zayis, right? Kizayis. Eretz shakol shi'urek zeisim, a land that all of its shi'urim are the size of an olive. Says the Gemara, really? We just mentioned a couple of others. Kol shi'ures al-kadaitach? Ha ika hani da amrina. We just said other shiurim. We just said chitim saorin saora. So elaim asherov shiurek kizaisim. Kizais in the pasuk means that most items, most shiurim in the world, most halachas are based on the shiur of a kizais. And finally, the last one, dvash. Right, dvash means dates. Dvash tamarim kakoseves agasa biyom kipurim. That's the size, as we just discussed at length, the last parak in Maseches Yuma, like the size of a large date. Remember we discussed, does it include the pit? Does it not include the pit? A large date, a medium-sized date, Piyom HaKippurim, Al Madaraisa Ninu. But you see from all of these items that these shiurim are alluded to in the in the Torah. Right? So therefore, well, we also, the Gemara doesn't mention here, there are other halachas learned that from this pasuk as well, in terms of the order of Hilchas Brachos, and the order of what we're supposed to eat in terms of the Shivas Haminim. But, you see, these Shi'urim are learned out from the Psukim. So how could the Gemara say that they are based on Halacha Moshe V'Sinai? They're all learned out from Psukim. So the Gemara answers with a rhetorical question. V'tizbro, wait a minute. Shi'urin Miksivi? What do you mean? Are these mentioned in the Pasuk? The Pasuk is about the Shivas Haminim. The Pasuk's about the seven special items that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. So it's not written anyway. So Ela Hilchasininu, Vikra Asmachta Bi Almahu. Really, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. And the Psukim are an Asmachta Bi Alma. Meaning, if we would have had this Pasuk, would we have ever come up with these Shiurim? It says barley. We would have thought, oh, barley means the shear of Tumas Mag and Masa. We would never have come up with that. So on Asmachta, once Chazal have the Misora of Halacha Moshe Misinai, so then they were masmichit and they put it back, hinted to in the Psukim. It's been a while since we mentioned the Ritva, so just to mention it again now, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tezayin, where he discusses Asmachta. What does this mean, Asmachta? This means that here it's a little different, because many times the Gemara has Asmachta as a din d'rabbanan, that the Rabbanan were then masmich back to Psukim. Here it's a little different. Here it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. But the same question could be asked. Is it really, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu really have this in mind? When he wrote the Torah and he dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asmachta, Right? So did he mean these either d'oraisas, like in our context, or d'rabanans, like in other contexts? Did he mean them to be learned out from the psukim? Says the Ritva, yes. With a very strong yes. And that is, where does he know this from? He knows that the context of the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah is the context of Malchias, Zechronis, and Shofros. Major machlokas we've shown him whether saying those brachos on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabanan. Rashi ala Torah seems to say saying those brachos are a mitzvah d'oraisa. Malchus are going to show first. Even if you want to say that tefillah the whole year is not d'oraisa, like the Ramban, it's only d'rabanan, except be'es sara, unless you say Rosh Hashanah is an es sara, but it is a d'rabanan. It's d'oraisa. Other Rishonim say that it's only d'rabanan. D'rabanan, big discussion. In the context of Rosh Hashanah, says the Ritva right there, Rosh Hashanah Tev Zayin. V'hadak amar amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu imru lefanei malchis zechronos v'shofros. That's the language of the Gemara there. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu imru lefanei. You don't get a better daraisa than that. Hashem said. Says the Ritva, Mishum di afagav. The Ritva is a derabanan man. So how could I explain this? Imru Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu di afagav de psukei malchis zechronos v'shofros. Eina min haTorah ela midrabanan kiteparishna. Even though I hold that saying those brachas are derabanan, mikol makom mimasha amra Torah zichron shrua yishlomo sheroi lahaskir psukei shrua upsukei zichronos. It's a remez. But it's not specifically. But it's as if Hashem said it. And let me explain now. Shekol ma sheyesh lo asmachta min hapasuk. Whenever the Torah says, the Gemara says asmachta, and something's hinted to, hey yir HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheroi lasos kein. Hashem is hinting it. Ela shelo kavu chova umasu lechachamim. Hashem did not obligate it based on a pasuk in Chumash. He hinted to it. And he waited either for you to accept Halacha Moshe B'Sinai and then put it back into the psukim, or to create the Didrabanan. And this is clear, and he's very emphatic about it. V'lo kedivrei ha'mefarshim ha'asmachdos shu kederach simin shenasnu chachamim. Don't think, oh, it's just a nice little hint that the rabbis made. V'lo shakavanas ha'tara l'kach. But the Torah didn't really mean it. Chas v'shalom yishtaka ha'davar v'lo yomar. Chas v'shalom, you should say that, says the Ritva. Shezu das minusi. That is heretical to say that the Torah didn't mean this. No! Hashem meant it. He just didn't want to obligate it. Aval haTorah he'ira b'kach u'masro chiyev adavar l'kavu l'chachamim im yirtzu. K'mo shekasav asisa al pi adavar sheyegidu l'cha. L'fichach timsa chachamim nosnim b'chol makom raya o zecher o asmachta l'divrei min haTorah. The chachamim always try to do this, to find some type of hint. Not that it was obligatory from the Torah, but that Hashem's happy, and really this was the kavanas haTorah b'chlal. They had specials out to the Shmaya, and they could say this. V'chol Torah shebal peh remuza b'torah shebichsav shei temima v'chas v'shalom shei chaseira klum. It's not missing anything. So that's the Ritva. In terms of asmachta, it's really meant, it was alluded to in the Torah, and put back in by the Rabbanah, but we should take them very seriously. Period. One final point related to this whole sugya, and that is, what does it mean that kol shi'ureha, the Gemara says, kol shi'ureha kazesim, all of its shi'urim related to Eretz Yisrael, was shi'urim only in Eretz Yisrael? And why are all shi'urim that we know for all halacha, why are they learned that from a pasuk that's talking about Eretz Yisrael? Rashi's lashon, if you remember on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rashi says, L'shi'ur ne'amar, ha'pasik midaber b'shivcha shel Eretz Yisrael, sha'afilu b'divrei Torah, tzrichin l'sha'er b'peirose'a yisurin sheva Torah. Everything's connected to Eretz Yisrael. Even the yisurin, you learn out from Mamakar and Eretz Yisrael. So what does shi'urim have to do with Eretz Yisrael? So it's a beautiful tzlach. The tzlach, not here, but this gemara comes up, you see on the remember, on the sign in a couple of places, the tzlach in brachas, and daf mem aleph says, because really, remember we just learned this, the beginning of the last parak in Yuma, chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. So really, you don't need a, and we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, that even less than a shir is asur d'oraisa. So what do you need shirin for? Even chatzi shir is asur all over the world. What do you need shirin for? The onesh. Onshin? That's only in Eretz Yisrael. Bezdin, Sanhedrin. They're the only ones that are giving Malchus and giving Mises Bezdin for those cases. Shi'urin are only, that's why it's Dafka connected to Eretz Yisrael, says the Tzlach, because even less than the Shi'ur is us or the whole world. Shiurin is specifically related to Eretz Yisrael. Nafkamina rak lekarban ulamalkus. V'lachein amar shakol shiurei hashishach rak ba'aretz. V'chein koseres b'yom kippurim. Gamkin lamalkus ulakarban. And that's why Dafka says it in Eretz Yisrael, because by iskim achalos in chiluk bein shir lepachos b'kashir. That's the ha'ara, but you can't learn the Gemara without that ha'ara. Okay, we continue. So the Gemara says next. So we shiurin. Okay, it's alluded to in the it's a halacha moshe. We see it because it's not really mefurish. Says the Gemara, chatzitzin daraisa ninu. Next one. What do you mean? The next on the list, chatzitzin. That's also a daraisa. Halachic interference when a person goes to the mikvah. Dichsiv arachatz bisaro b'mayim. A person washes his body in the water, shelo yehe davar chotzeitz beino levein hamayim. There shouldn't be any chatzitza between his body and the water. So Gemara says, ki asi hilchasa l'sa'aro. The pasuk is telling me the body, and the halacha, the Moshe B'Sina, is that even one's hair is not allowed to have any chatzitza in it. Kedarabar barbarchana, domar barbarchana, nima achas kishura. As you see, barbarchana says, the halacha of chatzitza apply to hair. In nima achas kishura, if somebody has one hair that is knotted on itself, chotzeses, that creates a chatzitza, because water is not going to get in. Shalosh in a chotzeses, but three hairs knotted together, even though it's knotted together, it must be loose enough, because there are three hairs, and therefore water can get through without a chatzitza. Shtayim eini yodea. I'm not sure about two, though. Not sure about two. That's Rabbi Rechana's statement. But either way, what's important for us is, you see the halacha of chatzitza applies to hair, too. So that's the halacha Moshe Mishinai. Says the Gemara, saro nami daraisa. What he means, hair is also included and learned that from the pasuk ninhu dichsiv v'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. S in the Torah always teaches me something, as we know from Shimon Ha'amsuni elsewhere. S hatafel b'saro. S what's secondary to the basar umaynihu saro. So you already know from the extra word in the pasuk. That's not called not in the Torah, right? That's not halach Moshe B'Sinai. You know from the word s. So Gemara says, okay, you know chatzitza, and you know hair, and chatzitza applies to hair from halacha Moshe B'Sina, from the pasuk. What's the halacha Moshe B'Sina teaching me? Details. Details of hilchas chatzitza. Ki asai hilchasa l'kid Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Dvar Torah. As we know, three levels of chatzitza. Three levels. Daraisa, Darabanan, and Minhag. Dvar Torah says the Rabbi Yitzchak, the first level. Ruba umakpid alav chotzeitz. In order for a chatzitza to be a problem on a Daraisa level, only ruba umakpid, if something is covering most of my body, and I am makpid that it's there. Meaning I don't always want this on me. If somebody is mostly covered in mud, right, so that's a chatzitza. Right? You don't get too much of this, or we don't think it's gonna, comes out too often. Ruba umakpid of chotzeitz. V'she'eino makpid alav, but if it's, even if it's rove, but if I'm not makpid on it, ain't no chotzeitz, that is level one. So, alright, so let's just read all the levels, and then we'll make a number of comments. V'gazru, and then Chazal made a gzera on either or. V'gazru al rubo she'eino makpid, b'shim rubo amakpid, v'al miyuto amakpid, b'shim rubo amakpid. Either on most of the body, or if I'm makpid, even if it's on a minority of my body, that's a chatzitza derabanan. Chatzitza derabanan. The Gemara says, "V'ligzo nami al miuto she'eno makpid." Why don't you go all the way, even on a minority that I'm not makpid for? Mishum miuta makpid al tzera inami, or mishum rubo she'eno makpid. Why don't you go even minority that you're not makpid for? The Gemara says, "No, you don't go that far." He gufa gzera v'yana nekam inigzar gzera l'gzera. Level two is already a gzera, so you're not going to make level three as a gzera for level two. There's no such din. There is, though, a minhag. The Ramah quotes the minhag in Kuf Tzadiches and Hilchas Tfilin Chatzitza. The minhag is to try to remove even a miyut she'eino makpid. But that's only the minhag. And that's why if there's any question that comes up after a tevila, what the Rav would always try to figure out is, was it category three or category two? If it was category three, then the tevila was fine, and the minhag l'chadchila, okay, but the tefillah was fine. But if it was already in level two, that's more serious. That's already chatzitza derabanan. Let's say a woman realizes that there's one of her fingernails still has nail polish on it. Nine got off and one still on. So that's why that's a miyut. That's a miyut. But the question is, what about, is it makpid? So is it clear nail polish? Is it colorful nail polish? Would she walk out with this finger colored? Would she be embarrassed? That's what the Rav tries to figure out. Is there machpid? But again, that's the difference between level two and level three. That is the three levels of chatzitza. The Beis Yosef quotes double machlokes, and we're machmir regarding both of these halachas. The first halacha in Kuf Tzadiches in Yaradeya. The first halacha, the Beis Yosef quotes two machlokes. How do you define machpid? How do you define machpid? So first of all, do you go by the world or do you go by this woman? How do you go by machpid? Right? Do you go, let's say most people are machpid about something, but this woman doesn't really care. Right? Her rings. This woman would wear her rings even when she bakes challah, when she kneads challah. Even though most of the world would take off the rings because they don't want the dough to get into the ring. Or the opposite. What if this woman is machpid and the whole world is not machpid about something? So the Shulchan Aruch says we're machmir both ways. We're machmir both ways. If she's ever machpid or if the world is machpid. We are machmir to assume that's called machpid. Number one. Number two, what if this woman generally is not machpid except in certain situations? Most of the time she's not machpid. So again, we're machmir in that case. To assume that if she's ever machpid, that is good enough to be called machpid for Hilchas Chatzitza. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in the beginning, Kuf Tzadiches, Tzricha Shetitbo Kol Gufa B'Pamachas, Tefillah. That's what Tefillah is different than Hagalah. Tefillah's got to be at once. Hagalah, I could kasher my pot, you know, different parts of it now and then 10 seconds later. Tefillah has got to be pamachas at one moment in the mikvah. Lefichach tzorach shelo yei ala shum davar shachotzeitz viafilu kolshu v'im derech bnei adam lefamim lachpid alav chotzeitz afilu im eina makpedes alav ata, even if she's not makpedes, or afilu im eina makpedes alav la'olam, even if she's never. Kibin she derech ro bnei adam lachpid alav chotzeitz. And if it covers most, then also, that's the, we're machmir by all of these cases. There is an important question that Rabbi Chanan asked Rabbi Chaim. Rabbi Chanan asked Rabbi Chaim and said, one second, if we know that the Rabbanan came up with a definition of machpid on a Rabbanan level, so how could there ever be a eino machpid case? Once the Rabbanan say that even a mi'ut she'eino machpid, even a rove she'eino machpid, once the Rabbanan say that that's a psul, so why doesn't that turn into a rubo hamachpid? Because I want to follow the halacha. So I'm machpid because once the Rabbanan tell me it's a chatzitza de Rabbanan, so that should turn, there should never be a category, asks Rabbi Chanan to Rabbi Chaim, of rubo she'eino machpid. Because the second it's possible de Rabbanan, it's rubo machpid. So, different answers given to that question. Look in the Hosafos to the Kovas Ha'aris at Simon Dalet in the back. He has, Rabbi Chaim gives one answer, but Rabbi Chanan gives a different answer, which is the Pashtus, and that is, that's not called machpid. It's only called machpid if you're machpid in general, you're machpid about it. If you're only machpid because the halacha says that, you know, it's a problem, that's not called machpid. That's not called machpid in this context. And we have that type of halacha in other contexts as well, not for now. One final point related to chatzitza, and that is the machlokas Rambam Gaonim. The Gemara includes hair for chatzitza. But the question is hair considered a separate unit once it's included, or it's just the rest of the body? The Rambam says in Hilchas Mikvos, first he quotes the Gaonim, that Sara acha shenikshra chotzetes vu sheyeh makpid ala, but lameina makpid ala, also lo tfilat shetiyah rov sa'aro kashur nima nima. If the majority of the hair is in knots, the Gaonim say that's a chatzitza d'oraisa. Because the Gaonim say once hair is included, but it still remains its own independence. There's hair and there's the rest of the body. And the Rambam argues, the year Eli, Shesar Shal Adam, Kagufo Chashav Linyan Tfila. No, once it's included, it's like the rest of the body. Right? And the Brisker Rav on that Rambam goes through, the Machlokas is how do they understand that limud of including hair? Is including hair, so now it's just like the rest of the body, or it's somewhat different? Good. Weiter. Says the Gemara. So we discussed shiurin and chatzitzin, and now mechitzin. Mechitzin ad amran. So mechitzin is no problem. Mechitzin is, that's why we brought this whole discussion in. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha mechitza of sukkah being at least 10 tefachim tall, that's the halacha Moshe Mishina. So honey, chalur Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, fine, I know what the halacha Moshe Mishina is teaching me. Mechitza. Elul Rabbi Meir, Ma'ikel Ameimar. According to Rabbi Meir, what's included? What is the halacha Moshe Mishina Mechitza? Right, remember, because I learned it from the Aron. I didn't need to know that from the halacha Moshe Mishina. So kiyasi hilchasa lagud v'lavid v'dofen akuma. I learned it from these other halachas that have come up a little bit somewhat already, but it's going to come up at length again over the next couple of dafim. Good asik, meaning extending walls up and down. Lavud. If there is an airspace of a couple of tvachim, three tvachim, I'm allowed to view it as together. And dofen akuma, if there is four amos of a pasul roof on top, I'm allowed to view it as a bent wall, as was discussed earlier, and in that way extend the wall and not have a separation between the wall and the schach. Okay, that's what's included in mechitza. Hashem, we'll come back and talk about those more. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why is it included in shiurin? It's a specific type. Meaning shiurin, maybe that's also what Rashi says, that's to do with actions, not items. Items are mechitzas, right? Actions require a, that's called shiurin. Pshela gimel tvanos. Okay, the Mishnah said, what's the minimum shiur of a sukkah? Three walls. Three walls. Taner Rabbanan, Shtayim Gil Chasen, V'Shlish Lavi L'Tefach. As we know, we hold. You don't even need three walls. You need two and a little bit. As the Baalei Remez say, is alluded to even in the word sukkah. Samach Kaf Hey. Samach is surrounded on all sides. That's like four walls. You go one level down, the Kaf is surrounded on three sides. That's three walls. Then you have the Hey. The Hey is two and a little bit. That's what we hold. Two and a little bit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Kil Chasan, V'Raviyas Avilo Tefach. No, three. And the fourth is even a tafach. So Rav Shimon is machmir. So by my commitment, what is this machlokas about between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan? Five suggestions in the Gemara. Five, let's just try to get through the suggestions, and then maybe we'll talk about them at the beginning of Shir tomorrow. But Micah Miflagi, so number one, Rabbanan Savar Yesh Eim L'Misorah. So Rabbanan say, well, you go by how something is written in the Torah. The Misorah, how it is written. For Reb Shimon Savar Yesh Eim L'Mikra, and Reb Shimon said, no, you go by how it's read, even though it's not written in that way. Let's explain. Rabbanan Savar Yesh Eim L'Misorah. So Rabbanan say, you go by how it's written in the Torah. And what does it say in the Torah? Basukas, basukas, basukos. The first two are singular, only the last one is plural. So altogether there are four. You go by how it's written, basukas is singular. So one, one, and two. Hare kan arba. There are four allusions to sukkah. Dalcha l'gufe. One of them is teaching me the basic din that you need the sukkah. Pashul hutlasa. You got three left over. Shtayim kilchasan. Two full walls. Va'asoy hilchasa. And dalchalach moshe v'sina comes and knocks down one. V'garasi l'shlishis. And the chiddush is that you could have, the third one could be less than a full wall. Look me a tefach. And all you need is a tefach. So four becomes three, becomes two and a little. Rabbi Shimon Savar, no, Yeshim Lamikra. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you go by how it's read. Basukos, basukos, basukos. So altogether, six. Harekan sheish. Dal chad kral lagufa. You take one out, one whole word out to teach me the din. So pashul arba, there are four left. And Shalosh Kilchasan Asai Hilchas of Agarati Lurvias Vukme Vukimta Tefach. So Shimon only goes down one and not two, and therefore that's how he has three and a half. The Rush has a line in Bava Kama where he says, Every Alach Moshe Sinai is to lessen, to minimize. And that's how the Gemara here knows that the Alach Moshe Sinai is to knock down one of the walls. Number one. Vibayasema Dukuliyama Yeshem Lamikra. Or, so we could say that everybody holds Yeshem Lamikra. Everybody goes by how it's read. The and this is the machlokas between them. Do I need a pasuk to teach me about the schach? We're talking about the walls here. What about the schach? So that we really alluded to, I think, on Dav Beis. How much is the schach part of the definition? How much the schach and the walls? What's the definition of the sukkah? Right? Is it the walls also? Is it just the schach, the relation between the schach and the sukkah? So this is, again, goes on that list. Whether you knock one pasuk out for schach, v'ibayisayim et kol yamei shen l'mesoros, or the opposite. Everybody holds you go by how it's written, v'achab kamakam iflagi. Mar savar kiyasi hilchasa l'gareya, as we just mentioned, from the Rush, one holds that l'achmash v'sina is to lessen, mar savar kiyasi hilchasa l'hosif, to add on, and the Rush would say that this is an exception to the rule of normal l'achmash v'sina, that to add on. V'ibayisayim et number four, to kuliyama kiyasi hilchasa l'gareya, everybody agrees it's to lessen, v'yishim l'mesoros, and you go by how it's written, v'hacha b'darshin t'chilas kamiflagi, the machlokas is, the ikker, when you use one to teach me the ikker din, could you also use that for your numbering? Or, once one is used to teach me the ikker din, you can't use that pasuk anymore for numbering. Mar savar darshin tchilos, you're allowed to. Mar savar ein darshin tchilos, another one says you're not allowed to. And number five, finally, Rav Masna Amar, taimi de Rav Shimon. The reason for Rav Shimon that it's three and a little, mehacha. V'sukkah tiel etzel yomam, mechorev, ulamachze, ulamistar mizermu mimater. The sukkah is supposed to be, as we had earlier back on that base, for protection from the cold, from the elements. If it's two and a little, that doesn't protect you from anything. That's why you have to have three in a little. That protects you. And that's how Reb Shimon knows, based on Svara, that's what a sukkah has to be. So tomorrow we have to start with, number one, why is it yesh aim lemikra and yesh aim lemsaras and not av? Why is it a mother and not a father? We'll start with that, Baruch Hashem. And then we have to talk about an important ha'ara that the Minchas Chinuch has in the last mitzvah, mitzvah's taryag, regarding this machlokas of yesh aim lemikra and yesh aim lemsaras. Then we get into hardcore hilchas sukkah in terms of dimensions on tomorrow's daf, Baruch Hashem, and we will continue. Baruch Hashem, great to be back in Eretz Yisrael. Giving the daf in this new cycle.